بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين، أما بعد، قال الله تبارك وتعالى: يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: اتقوا الله في النساء، فإنما أخذتموهن بأمان الله واستحللتم فروجهن بكلمة الله، أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: صدق الله العظيم وبلغنا رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. لرسول رسائل درود شريف. اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم، يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. أما بعد، علماء الكرام، respected elders and dear brothers and all who are listening on the audio streaming, I have recited the very first verse of Surah An-Nisa, which is the fourth surah of the Holy Quran and also in the fourth juz of the Holy Quran. In this very first ayat, we are able to obtain six very important lessons from this very first ayat of Surah An-Nisa. It is just one verse, but it is filled with valuable lessons. And I would like to share, inshallah, in this short time, these valuable lessons from Surah An-Nisa. This ayat that I recited is also recited in the khutbah of the nikah. The first verse to be read in the khutbah of the nikah is this very verse, and inshallah after the talk we will be having a nikah that will be taking place. So it is also intended as advice for the couple to be, and also for all future couples and past couples, those who have married years ago, those who married recently, those who are to marry in the future. We continue to upgrade ourselves and we continue to increase our understanding and our knowledge. They say that these advices are not just for the newly wed, but they are also for the nearly dead. It's applicable to both. Even if you are nearly dead, you can still be learning lessons in life. So these lessons are for all, young and old. Nevertheless, the first lesson or observation that we need to focus on is that this is the beginning of Surah An-Nisa. And Nisa in Arabic means women. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed an entire surah named Surah An-Nisa, the surah of the women. Now, if somebody says, where in the Quran is Surah Ar-Rijal, the Surah of the men? So there's no Surah of the men in the Quran. But there is the Surah of the women. And this is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes mention in the Surah of the rights of women and the privileges that they enjoy and the protections that have been granted unto them in Islam, so that people do not take undue advantage of them, because they are inherently weaker than men. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ensured that their rights are given due importance and their rights are emphasized and they are given due protection. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed an entire surah in the Quran that is called Surah An-Nisa, the surah of the women. And in the surah, many, many regulations relating to the rights of women and how these rights have to be protected so that they are not abused and that they are not taken advantage of. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself takes that responsibility to protect the rights of women. And this debunks the propaganda and falsehood against Islam that women are treated badly in Islam and women are not given any due consideration in Islam. This is the biggest lie and it is falsehood and it is propaganda. Islam has given women such rights and protection that no other system till today in the world and till Qiyamah will be able to give them that protection that Islam has granted unto them. Have no doubt in your mind about it. Every other system is a man-made system. It is prone to failure and it is prone to errors and weaknesses. This is Allah's system of the protection of the rights of women and to ensure that they are preserved and they are not taken advantage of. We find that in the surah, so many places Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the rights of women in such a stirring manner. Very few ayats after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَهُنَّ مِثْلُ الَّذِي عَلَيْهِنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, that they have rights. Oh men, these women have rights just as you have rights. The ulama have mentioned that Allah spoke first about the rights of women before he spoke about the rights of men. Why? Why did Allah speak first about the rights of women? Then he spoke about the rights of men. It is not coincidental. Quran is not a book that, the wording is just anyhow. Every single dot and every single letter and every single word and every single phrase and every single sentence is absolute and deliberate. It has got a very deep connotation and it has got deep meanings and there are subtle indications. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is indicating here that the rights of women they take precedence over the rights of men. I will mention their rights first to you, O men, then comes your right, because you can claim your rights by force. They cannot claim their rights by force due to their inherent weakness. So therefore give due consideration to the rights of women. And like that, dear friends, there are many, many points that as we go along, just one more point, it is also relating to marriage. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says here in, further on in this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, وَعَاشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَعَاشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ فَإِنْ كَرِهْتُمُونَّ فَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُوا شَيْئًا وَيَجْعَلَ اللَّهُ فِيهِ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا. O men, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is appealing to you as the husband and as a man that عَاشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, treat women with kindness. Allah ta'ala is telling you, what kind of human being, what kind of insan, what kind of man are you? You must feel ashamed of calling yourself a man if you cannot behave like a man and you cannot carry out Allah's injunction when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling you, oh man, I am ordering you, عَاشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. But you can't treat them properly, you can't treat them nicely, you cannot treat them kindly. What kind of man are you? You don't deserve to be called a man. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appeals to man, وَعَاشِرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes into the psychology of man. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, yes, you may be unhappy with certain qualities or certain ways or certain habits or certain traits of your wife which you're not happy about, you don't like, you don't fancy, those certain things, they will be there. They will be there. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never made us absolutely perfect. Only Anbiya alayhimus salam, they are the perfect makhluk and creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The rest of us, we have got deficiencies and weaknesses. So there's nobody that's perfect. So why are you seeking perfection in your wife? When it comes to your wife, you want to be Mr. Perfectionist. She mustn't have no faults. Then you should have, you rather have appliances then, because they say quest for zero defect in the appliance. But is that applicable to your wife? Are you going to look for zero defect in your wife? What about yourself? Look in the mirror. Stand in front of the mirror and look at yourself and see whether you are perfect and you have no deficiencies and no shortcomings. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks, He knows the psychology of insan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says here, فَإِن كَرِهْتُمُهُنَّ You may dislike certain things about her. فَأَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا Maybe you like that. But وَيَجْعَلَ اللَّهُ فِيهِنَّ خَيْرًا كَثِيرًا But what about all the great amount of goodness Allah has kept for you in your wife? Why have you forgotten that? One of the great ulama used to say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He gives you a wife in marriage and you have a child from her, that child itself is such a big gift that she has given you that that child is your happiness and joy in this world and your asset in the akhirat. Is that less that she has given you? From her own body, she has given you, of course, through Allah's order and everything. Allah has given you a child from her. She has become the means of a child being attributed to you. She has given you a gift of a child. That child is your source of happiness in this world. And it's your asset of the akhirah. Is that not a great favor that she has done unto you? Therefore, our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali used to say so beautifully to explain the value and importance of women in Islam and your wife. He used to say, look, your wife gave birth to a child from herself. She was one. And now she gave birth to one, so one minus one. One came out from her, one minus one. What is left now? Zero. One minus one, zero. She's given you, by one child, she has given you everything. And if she gives you more children after that, then that is even an additional favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what should be your attitude? Your attitude should be an attitude of gratitude. Have an attitude of gratitude. Be grateful unto her for whatever enjoy the benefits that you enjoy from her in marriage. It may happen that there are certain attributes or qualities you dislike. Turn a blind eye to those things because there's many, many other good things that she has, many other good qualities that she has. But sadly, we have a tendency to look at one or two deficiencies, and on that basis we hold a kind of a dislike and we have a negative attitude towards the wife, and we hold this against her all the time in our hearts, and the end result is that eventually you develop dislike and a hatred and a distancing between them, between husband and wife, and eventually, Allah forbid, the marriage even collapses and the marriage breaks up. We need to focus on these teachings of Quran. The preservation of the family life is a very, very important aspect of our deen. So now, as was just the first point out of the 6 points that I touched upon, that this is the first verse of Surah An-Nisa. The second point that we find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us again about the need to be constantly conscious of His presence and His power. Be conscious of Allah's presence and be conscious of Allah's power. This is in the first ayat, the first lines of this ayat, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhan nasu taqu rabbakum. Ya ayyuhan nasu taqu rabbakum. This word about taqwa. The whole nikah khutbah is ayats of taqwa. Further on in this ayat, Allah speaks again about taqwa twice. Elsewhere too in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullah. وَلْتَنْظُرْ نَفْسٌ مَّا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدٍ وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. In one ayat, اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ has been repeated twice. Why is this so much of emphasis? Because when we develop that consciousness of Allah's presence and Allah's might and power, that is the time when man will remain disciplined and he will remain on the straight path. He will not veer. Because every time he wants to go off the track, he's conscious of Allah's presence and he's conscious of Allah Ta'ala's power. We have to be conscious of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala's presence and power. Think about the power of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. What am I? I may be looking very strong, healthy, wealthy, powerful, whatever. 1 second, I'm nothing. I'll be a zero in 1 second. Person has a stroke in 1 second. He was the most powerful person in town. Today he can't even lift his hand. He needs people to help him even to wash himself. So be conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's presence and be conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's power. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة. The third point Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions now is that He is the one who created you from one human being, one soul, and that was Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, the prince of Allah's creation, the very, we could call, the apex of Allah's creation, Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam. Allah created everything else first. خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضُ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا. He created the earths, and He created the skies, and He created whatever was in between, and the mountains, and the oceans, and the rivers, and the trees, and the animals, and every other creation was created first. And last, the last and final of Allah's creation was Hazrat Insan, the human being. Allah created the human being last, because they say sometimes you leave the best for the last. So Allah created the best at the end, because everything was created for Insan. As hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he mentions that الدُّنْيَا خُلِقَتْ لَكُمْ وَأَنَّكُمْ خُلِقْتُمْ لِلْآخِرَةِ. Oh human beings, this world has been created for you. Allah created this whole world and whatever is in the world to serve you for your benefit. But you have been created for the hereafter. So Allah Ta'ala created everything first, set the stage. When everything was created, even the angels were in existence, and the jinns were also in existence, and everything was in existence, when the stage was set, then Allah created the first human being on earth, and it was also on a Friday, and it was between Asr and Maghrib, and Allah fashioned Adam alayhi salam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blew the ruh into him, and he came into existence as the best of Allah's creation. And in this, Allah has debunked the nonsensical theory of evolution. That man came on earth by mistake. He was first a baboon and a monkey. And then he rubbed his tail on some rocks and his tail fell off. And then he started changing his shape and he became from an ape and a baboon and a monkey, he became insan and a human being. What nonsense. It's an absolute insult to the intellect of people to say that this is your origin. When the theory of evolution came out for the first time, they approached a very great alim, Hakim al-Ummat rahmatullah alayhi, and they told him that, Hazrat, this is what these people are saying, and we should rebut this theory. He said, why are you wasting your time to rebut their theory? Every person has got a right to be proud of his lineage. If this is their lineage and they're proud of it, good luck to them. Good luck to them. You came from an ape and you came from a baboon. Good luck to you. That's who your lineage is. And if you're happy and proud of that lineage, you keep that lineage and good luck to you. We are the children of Adam and we came from the best of the best. Allah specially created being Sayyidina Adam, and we are the offspring and we are the children of Adam alayhi salam. My dear friends, due to the limitation of time, because we have to do the nikah, I will stop here at this point in time. But we make dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless this marriage, grant the couple a lot of blessings, barakah, bliss, happiness in their marriage, success in their marriage. Allah protect and preserve their marriage. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them pious children, healthy offspring. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unite the families that have come together as a result of this nikah. And a dear friend of ours, whose son is getting married today, he had passed away. May Allah grant his father, the father of the bride, our bridegroom, our dear friend, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, shokat by Allah, grant him the highest stages of Jannatul Firdaus.